It's time for the Drive's Top 4 at 4.
Hour number 2 of the Drive underway here on Fan Run Radio. It starts with the Top 4 at 4. Here's Tucker Harlan.
Thank you, Russell. At number 1, the NBA has announced it is banning Toronto Raptors forward Jonte Porter for life due to gambling offenses. The violations center around the disclosure of useful information to bettors, intentionally limiting his minutes in a minimum of one game with the Raptors, and placing bets on NBA games while playing in the G League.
So this guy was betting on the under on himself for points, and then placing bets on, and then not playing. I've got a hammy, so I can't go, coach. Intentionally manipulating the game. All the stuff that Pete Rose was, did he do it? Did he not do it? I don't know. We'll never, like, they got caught this guy red-handed.
This suspension brought to you by DraftKings. Use promo code Porter for $200 back in site credit. What did they think was going to happen? Don't get me wrong. They did the right thing. You can't do that if you're him.
You can't do that.
But
placed an $80,000 same game parlay that would win $1.1 million.
Parlay.
I mean, you don't have any choice with the NBA.
No, you don't. Not
like there is no choice.
And unlike Major League Baseball, who this gambling thing is involving, maybe their biggest star, not maybe their biggest star. You can do this to Porter and set an example, and you're not really losing that much. Like Ohtani, you got to be like, "Yep, it was the handler. It was definitely the handler," and Ohtani had no idea. This, you can say, Porter gone, lifetime. No one else do this.
Well, I mean, if you had caught a bigger star, Zion Williamson, LeBron James, doing this, I think you would have to kick him out permanently too.
Nobody's
you
about
to manipulate the outcome of a game for gambling purposes.
When you can't be divulging confidential information to people.
I know it's happened before. I'm not naive. I'm sure this has happened in all sports and probably recently. But you have somebody caught so egregiously, you have to cut ties with them permanently.
Absolutely. Did it say, like, was this his account? Was he going through a proxy?
Yeah.
I think he was also doing it for other people.
I think it was both.
Yeah, because he said he was disclosing the information to other bettors. That way he could get them money.
And where did he was with the Raptors?
Yep.
Did he think, like, oh, I'm in Canada, I'm good, I can get away with this? Weird.
I don't feel like you should do that because every other team that you are in the league with is in the U.S.
Correct, Tucker, and you can't do that. Can't do that.
Cannot.
Can't do that.
Can't do that.
At number 2, Oregon.
That's my fault.
You're right there, buddy.
All right.
Lean into it.
At number 2, Oregon State transfer running back Damian Martinez will not visit Tennessee this weekend. He originally was scheduled to be in Knoxville this coming Sunday and Monday. The other four schools he is scheduled to visit are Miami, Kentucky, Mississippi State, and Arizona.
I'm going to find it, Russell.
So the VolQuest guys are saying that the money he wants for NIL is so high that it would cause disruption in the running back room, i.e. he might be making more than Sampson, Seldon. You would have to renegotiate those deals. Is that a valid excuse for not pursuing?
I think so. And this was one of the things spoken about when NIL was brought on. That's part of the coach's job now, is to manage personalities, egos in the locker room when it comes to who makes what. And if the coaches think it was going to be a, you know, turmoil-filled situation, if he came here and got that money, then yeah, like I have to respect it.
Well,
can't use it as a crutch every time. Yeah. Like, oh, no, we
just did a gambling story.
Yeah.
You are gambling.
Yes.
By not bringing, if you choose not to bring in another running back, and maybe, see, this is what's so weird about this, is it almost feels like looking at other running backs and saying that this guy is too good to bring into the room, and we want to bring in another guy that won't command as much NIL money that we can comfortably slot in as our number two or number three guy, as opposed to bringing in a guy that might be 1B or even 1A, maybe just one. I mean, this kid sounds like the real deal. Really good running back. I asked myself, you know, what would Bama do? What would Saban do? What would a real – you go and get the best guy, right? And if Dylan Sampson doesn't like it, Dylan Sampson can get. But I think they like him so much, not only because he's a player, but he seems like one of these Uber leaders.
A juice guy.
Yeah.
And you don't have to teach him anything. He knows it all.
Yeah.
So, you might get Martinez and lose Sampson, but then the running back you got, you now have to teach everything to.
And did this play – is the conversation we're having here the same reason that they have chosen not to go down the Dallin Hayden role?
Could be.
I just hope this – Sampson stays healthy and Seldon gets back.
Yeah, that's big.
I mean, how often does – it seems like – I guess Jalen Wright did stay healthy, but Jabari Small had all sorts of injury problems.
Well, and Jabari, what was it? It was the shoulder, which is what Seldon's dealing with, right?
Yeah.
So.
Have they ever said exactly what it is? Or it's probably a miracle that we know it's his shoulder.
They haven't said anything. We know it's a shoulder, but –
he obviously had some fairly major surgery if it's a 6 to 7.
Well, the rumblings around town are that he might not be ready to start the season.
I don't even know if it's rumblings. I mean, Heupel did say, what, September-ish? So, if he has any setbacks at all, I mean, you're talking about we might not see him till October.
Not to mention that pretty much all the hype on him, I know we saw him tote it a little bit in the bowl game, but most of the hype is just recruiting stuff. Like he was in a picture that was taken on the first day of spring practice. Oh, he passes the eye test and he was a full 4-star. We haven't really seen him play yet. We don't know how good he is.
Saw him a little bit in the bowl game. Thought he looked very complimentary to Dylan Sampson. Go ahead, Tucker.
At number three, the NCAA is moving toward a new policy and its transfer legislation. The update would allow immediate eligibility to anyone looking to transfer as long as they are still academically eligible and in good academic standing and meeting progress requirements toward their degree at their new school. So it's unlimited.
Come a long way from having to get that waiver, huh?
Didn't we just talk about this yesterday? There has to be more restrictions now that the players are getting – this is so dumb. They're so dumb. Because
they're afraid of getting drugged.
Exactly.
That's one of the things
exactly.
They got drugged
I was going to
court for. So.
No, I mean, am I mishearing your story, Tucker? I heard that as there are no restrictions. As long as you're in good academic standing, you can
– Yeah.
Yeah.
Basically.
There are no restrictions.
No, I think I'm saying we need more so that these guys aren't just transferring every 6 months to get a bag, transferring to Iowa, getting money, then going back to Alabama. Like, it's getting crazy.
Oh, yeah, we're living in a free love zone right now. Everything's on the table. No restrictions.
And finally, at number four, MLB scoreboard, we have a lot of games that have gone final, several still in progress. The Giants defeated the Marlins today 3-1 in Miami. The Orioles beat the Twins 4-2. Mets, big winners over the Pirates 9-1. Brewers defeated the Padres 1-0. And the Rangers defeated the Tigers 5-4. The game's going on right now. The Astros lead the Braves 4-2 in the bottom of the sixth with two outs, a man on second. Cardinals and A's are scoreless at the end of the second. The Royals and White Sox are playing a doubleheader. White Sox lead that game 2-1. Blue Jays ahead of the Yankees 2-0 at the end of the third. The Nationals lead the Dodgers 2-0 in the bottom of the fourth with two outs. And the Diamondbacks lead the Cubs 1-0 in the bottom of the second with one out, one man on base.
Thank you, Tucker. That is your top four at four. It's brought to you this afternoon by Volunteer Auto Group. Check them out online, volauto.com. Let's go to the phones. T-Carp is next on the drive. Good afternoon, T-Carp.
Good afternoon, my friend. Hey, what's that phone number again?
I don't know. You called. You're the one who dialed it. 288-3131.
There we go. I'm giving you a hard time, old buddy. I like the fact that old Josh Heupel is boring. I was at work and paying attention to something else, and someone said, "Hey, the orange and white game's on." And this is like one of the first years in 6 or 7 years I haven't really paid attention to it. So, what do you attribute that to? Is it to us just being kind of decently good again, not having to worry about, oh, all this recruit, that recruit, just kind of, you know, like you said, have it on cruise control, just relaxing a little bit? What do you think this is?
I think it's a lot of things. I think it's a couple of different things. I think it's, first of all, there's so many different entertainment options. I mean, we're watching Tennessee baseball. We're keeping up with the basketball portal. Mm-hmm. Like, those things seem more important. I think that it's been de-emphasized. It's not just Tennessee this is happening at, right? Nobody cares about Alabama spring game, South Carolina, Florida, whatever. These coaches just want to keep everybody healthy, so they're not going to risk anybody, and they just don't place a lot of emphasis on it. And when you tell the public this isn't very important, we don't really care about it, guess what? The public is not going to treat it very important or care about it very much. So I think that it's a couple of different factors, but it's just sort of led to this place where, remember just a couple of years ago that they used to televise all these spring games. I don't even know. I think SEC Network was playing mostly softball games and baseball over the weekend. Yes. All these games are happening, and they don't play them because nobody watches them.
That makes sense. There was nothing for me to go off of. I don't want to get all excited about one, you know, a receiver catching a pass and putting too much into it. You know, I've done that in past years, and I'm just like, I learned nothing. I think we'll learn nothing from the spring game at all. Like, absolutely nothing.
Oh, so I think, some guys definitely flashed. Like, I talked about, I thought Gaston Moore looked better than I thought he would look. Like, he throws a nice
ball.
He's
pretty good, yeah.
And then Mike Matthews and Brazel. Like, you could tell. These guys can play.
A little different athlete there.
Yeah. Brazel caught that ball and had a little bit of acceleration that, you know, we might have been missing. And then, you know, Matthews is just a natural. So, you can tell we got some players, but it's, you know, as far as a game goes, you know, who won, that sort of thing, like, nobody – I don't think anybody really cares. You're just sort of looking at, okay, this guy flashed a little bit here. That guy looks like he's got some potential, and you go from there.
Right. What, now, on the running back thing, I think you guys really nailed it on the head when it came to managing personalities and managing money. If the guy's coming in and it's going to be more headache than what it's worth, you got to just say no. And who knows what it could have been. It could have been a phone conversation that just went awry. There's so many things. And you want to say, yes, this guy is so good, we can overlook X, Y, and Z, but he might not be. I mean, I just don't know. And I think that the way we rotate running backs, whether you're NFL talent or not, you're getting 10 carries and that's it. You know, that's what Josh Heupel has done, and it seems to work pretty dang well. And I think with the way he's got it set up, I honestly think this team, or excuse me, this offense can make just about any running back look pretty dang good.
It's a good point. We might worry a little bit too much on the outside looking in, and perhaps this is a byproduct of not giving out a lot of information during spring practice by these coaches. But Josh Heupel knows what he's got in that room. He knows what the players are capable of. And perhaps the most important piece of information he has that we don't is exactly what is Cam Seldon's injury and his status and his prognosis.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Absolutely. But other than that, boys, I love y'all. Houston, got me a bass boat from Dad. You need to come make sure that all the things work and there's fish that can be caught in the bass boat.
I can do that, brother.
Okay, just making sure. All right, love you guys.
Good to hear from you, T-Car. Appreciate the phone call. Now,
we love you too.
I agree with what he's saying. Our system is running back friendly. Have you guys seen this scout that is getting blowed up by the Tennessee fans? He's, you know, we're a week out from the draft. And
I may or may not already be involved with this scout.
Okay.
Least shocking thing ever.
So this guy is, he's not ripping Jalen Wright, but he is ripping Tennessee's offense. He said basically.
He walked it back, but you can't say that and not
mean
it as a
quote,
shot.
Mickey Mouse offense. And his point was that Tennessee, Jalen Wright had, I think, four carries all year against eight man or more boxes.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
And then two carries that went outside the tackle box.
Yeah.
And he said it's a Mickey Mouse offense.
No designed outside runs, basically.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what Josh Heupel is supposed to do. There's an eight-man box. We're going to run it because
we're Tennessee, and that's what we do.
That's what Jeremy Pruitt did. He got fired. That's so dumb.
Thank you.
Cornbread.
They call it a Mickey Mouse offense because Heupel's designed this offense to where
you throw against a heavy box and pass or run against – what did I just say? You throw against a heavy box and you run against a light box.
Yeah.
And that is Mickey Mouse, according to this guy. I get what he's saying.
Yeah.
You just don't have to say Mickey Mouse.
Well, and I think T-Carp is right. Like, we have a good system here that makes running backs look good. The greedy guy in me just wants to say, yeah, but can you imagine if we had a five-star running back? And I know there aren't many of those. That's a whole nother conversation, the devaluation
of
the running back position.
Much less now than there used to be.
I think that's kind of insulting to Jalen. I mean, he busted an 80-yard run against Georgia, who we would all agree is the best team in the country right now.
But can you imagine what this running – what if we had a Bijan Robinson or a the kid at Gibbs at Alabama a couple of years ago, some of these guys –
we almost did. Almost had Gibbs.
Some of these guys that are going way up high in the draft, can you imagine what one of those dudes would look like in this offense?
I think Jalen will be definitely the third. I could see him sneaking into the second round. He's the right size, low miles, great speed. What did he end up running at the combine? Like a 4.41. I was going to say like 4.41, 4.42.
I thought he got in the 4.3s.
Yeah, if he did that, even better. But he's durable. The fumbling issue, air quotes around issue that he had early, like he didn't
seem to get that correct.
Didn't seem to fumble at all last year that I recall. Well, Missouri won when he got hit from behind, but that was a weird one.
Yeah, but once he started carrying the ball where he was supposed to be carrying,
right? Yeah,
underneath his chin. Instead of down around his waist.
Quick timeout. You're listening to The Drive on Fan Run Radio. We mentioned earlier Drew Beam on the show tomorrow in our 3 o'clock hour. Justin Ganey, Tennessee Associate Head Basketball Coach, will join us in hour number 3 tomorrow as well. So we are jam-packed tomorrow afternoon. Right now, if you want to jump in, what is that number? 865-288-3131. Your number to get on the program. More Fan Run Radio coming up.
The Drive. 105.
Back here on The Drive, it's Fan Run Radio. Russ LeBaire with you, Houston Kress, the Vol Rumor Mill, doing his thing. Tucker Harlan just had, if I do say so myself, a stellar top four at four last segment. Could not be more pleased with the way that went.
It was all right.
Be nice to other people. You did a good job.
When you use that voice, it makes me want to be meaner.
I don't
go
make
ahead,
the news
segment,
there.
Russell.
Just reading about they added more music to the Library of Congress National Recording Registry.
Who's been added?
ABBA, whatever you call them.
They aren't even American.
Notorious B.I.G.
Mm-hmm. Biggie.
And Green Day.
Sure.
Among 25 recordings added to the Library of Congress National Recording Registry. culturally relevant popular music.
It's got to be a pretty big honor. I mean, think about it. You know for sure you'll live on.
I'll see if I can find the rest of this list while we talk to Phil. Good afternoon, Phil. You're on the drive. It's Fan Run Radio.
Well, sorry, Debbie.
What's up, Philly?
Tucker. I want Tucker did a great job.
That's what I'm saying.
Well, I appreciate you, Phil.
Stepped up and nailed it.
You know, hey, answer the phone on the fly, too. It's even better.
He's a man of many talents, Tucker Harlan is.
What's Meyer doing now?
You're wanting to feeling like going for a swim, Phil?
Nah, I was on compliment Tay Carp in Utah yesterday. I thought they had outstanding calls. Now, I will disagree with Tay Carp. Is Samson as good as the last two running backs that left?
I think he's definitely got
potential.
Yeah, he can definitely
watch shiftier.
Yeah, explosive plays with him.
I don't know if he has the top end speed that Jalen Wright has. And Jalen got big, man. He was skinny when he first got here.
He's tiny.
His first year, I thought, I don't know if he's ever going to really be big enough. Last year, he looked great. Looked awesome.
Well, he had a little fumbling problem last year, too, didn't he?
Year before last. He was pretty good this year. He had the one against Missouri. He kind of got clipped from behind. But I 2 years ago, I'd say he did for the first half of the season.
He got it fixed, though.
Yeah.
I'm talking about Samson's got a little fumbling problem.
I think sometimes that has to do with, the fact that they aren't. You know, Jalen Wright wasn't very strong.
Well, do you think down at Georgia and Alabama, if the NIL is involved in running backs, do they really care what the running back room thinks or anything?
I don't know. I don't know. I think that some of this, what we're talking about, is what drove Saban out of the game and made he didn't want to be dealing with all this stuff. I don't know how DeBoer is going to handle it. I'd imagine he's dealing with some team chemistry issues that he did not have to deal with at Washington or Fresno State.
Well, I do agree with that. I still think, though, you look at our offense, we're going to have to outscore people next year. Running backs are our weakest position on our offense.
Running back is the weakest position on the offense?
It's the weakest position on our offense.
I think it's tight end.
I thought tight end looked decent that Arkansas and White game, and Ethan Davis didn't even play.
I think we've got fine pieces. I mean, depth. Are we talking about the offensive line as a whole? Because left guard is the biggest question mark on the team as far as an individual position right now. But I think you're fine at running back right now on paper. But you are just one – I don't even want to speak it.
Yeah.
You're just one bad injury away from being not fine at all at that position.
Exactly. That's why we need our player. Everybody can hee-haw, Dallin Hayden and all this. We need a running back bad. Because, that running back's probably going to go to Miami. Miami will pay. They don't give a darn about a running back room. They'll go out and buy them. And they do things.
Well, the kid from Virginia, Peyton Lewis, does he come back? Is he ready to go? Can he pick things up enough to where you can stick him in there and get 10 carries a game? Are Bishop and Keith for real? These are questions we don't really know the answers to. A lot of question marks.
I think Bishop and Keith are average at best, but I hope I'm wrong.
But to hear people say it, average running backs can be made to look just fine in Heupel's offense.
Well, they can be, but you're never going to beat the big boys with them in there. I mean, if this is the year to go to playoff, I mean, everybody, you're a guess, said 10-2. I'll take that right now. But you're going to have to be able to run. Heupel runs the ball more than 50% of the time. You're going to have great production out of that.
Yeah, but we've had it every year.
My question would be, if the reason you're not going down the road of Damian Martinez from Oregon State, who is, according to On3, the number one player in the portal, if the reason you're not doing that is because it's an NIL deal and he wants more than what Dylan Sampson is making, well, would it really be cost prohibitive to give Dylan Sampson more? Or do you just do what Phil's saying and say, you know, if Dylan Sampson don't like it, Dylan Sampson can leave? I don't know, man. I would try and find some extra money just to make it equitable and say, listen, you're going to be, you know, Sampson's going to be running back 1A, Martinez is going to be 1B. You're both going to make X number of dollars, and this is the deal, and y'all should be happy with that.
Well, Rick Barnes didn't want to give Connect got last year. Is that the reason why Ledoux left?
I don't know. I don't know what the specifics are.
Out there.
The rumors I've heard is that there's a handler type situation, and Adu has people in his ear telling him he needs to go somewhere where he can shoot the three.
Yeah, I've heard that too. And he's going to go to Arkansas. Will Cal have better players in front of him? And then if he goes to Alabama, yeah, I guess they'll let him shoot threes there if it's the starting center, because he'll let anybody shoot threes.
Is that a thing? Alabama? I've not heard that one. Is Adu looking at Alabama?
He's looking at Alabama. Well, he's looking at Arkansas, and he's looking at UNC.
I know they
UNC is holding him off because they got better players they're going after. It's a kind of comedy of errors. I mean, a dude's stupid. He should have just stayed here and collect his check.
I know they had that Nick Pringle guy that just transferred out from Alabama, and they're looking for a rim protector. That was the big weakness that they had this year, because they had the Bediako guy the last couple of years, but they didn't really have that strong inside
presence. He actually does
this year
seem like he would fit in well with what Alabama wants to do.
I mean, he can get up and down the floor and protect the rim. That's what they want their bigs to do.
He ain't going
to
be shooting that 15-footer Barnes loved so much.
No, he'll get yanked out of the game for that.
Absolutely.
You're right about that. But this kid that they Dubar, you know who he reminds me of?
Who's that?
Admiral Schofield.
Ooh.
It's an interesting comp.
I like Admiral.
But we need more. We need to get that guy from Charlotte. How's his visit going? Is he still on campus right now?
Visit is over. It's between Tennessee, Nebraska, and Baylor. I like where Tennessee stands right there.
Well, I ought to be able to get him. I mean, Baylor don't emphasize big men at all.
You got 8 in the fold right now, 9 if Awaka comes back. Milicic would make it 10, then you got 3 spots to play with. Pretty good start.
And so they're probably going to give a Awaka more on the NIL to keep him. Is that what's holding us up?
I heard with Awaka it was a playing time thing, not necessarily a money thing.
He's heading into his junior year.
Which,
he's
if you've already jumped in the portal, like, I see it from his standpoint. All these dudes are milking it for all it's worth,
sure,
and I ain't mad at him for it, man.
No.
It's not personal. It's just business. But if you're a Tobe and you've already gotten in the portal, you might as well get everything out of Tennessee that you can.
Sure.
And then we're going to hopefully get Chaz on there, or you're going to get the Gale kid from Ohio State, which one of those you going to get?
I want Lanier.
Lanier.
I thought I saw Gale committed to already pick somebody else today, unless I'm just completely mistaken.
To who?
I know one of the kids from Ohio State, I think, went to UConn today.
UConn?
Oh, you're thinking of the big kid from Michigan.
Oh, that's right. Sorry.
To UConn.
Sorry.
Roddy Gale is still out there. I would so much rather have Lanier. I mean, Lanier shot 44% from three-point range. What did Gale? He was like 29%. I mean, he was.
Yeah, it was low.
It was not good.
He was better the year before, if I'm not mistaken.
Well, if Tennessee's smart, though, they could have a real good roster. Now, it looks to me like, I don't know, if it looks like North Carolina is trying to, they're going to get Tyson to visit there. So, who knows?
Plenty of time to let it all play out, Phil. There might be a dude or two we don't even know exists right now.
There's two or three other guys that are involved with. He's going to have a roster. I mean, I like to complain about Barnes, but he finds a way to get roster players.
Why do you like to complain about Barnes? Why do you like that, Phil? What's in that for you?
Well, got something to talk about. I'm still waiting for Apple. Dude, this is the fourth year, guys. Do something.
Do something. Or what?
He snuck
We're going to fire Josh Heupel now? Phil laying the groundwork to call for. Good grief, man. What are we doing?
It was beautifully executed, Phil. Waited to the end.
Well, you have given the blueprint to me many times. Here's how you should do it if you're going
to
do it.
And yeah, you need to stop talking about that.
No, I don't know. I think it was private. Phil just, he knows the blueprint.
Yeah.
You want to hear, I won't go all 25 recordings that have been selected for the National Recording Registry. 1919, Lieutenant James Reese, Europe's 369th Nice U.S. Infantry Band, Clarinet Marmalade.
Sure.
That was a recording that's over 100 years old now, just now finding itself into the National Recording Registry. Shouldn't this be decided? Is this like the Hall of Fame? If you didn't make it on the first 10 ballots, should we just...
What was that song called?
Clarinet Marinade.
Marmalade.
Marmalade, right. Sometimes you marinate things in marmalade.
From 1928, Viola Turpinin and John Rosendahl's Cahavan Polka.
Oh, yeah. I remember listening to that along with Kiss Me Polka, Polka Polka, The Polka Twist. It was a big hit for us.
Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer by Gene Autry, 1949.
Classic.
Classic
needs
recording.
To be in. Yep.
Should have been in long ago. I mean, what are we doing? 1950, Patti Page, The Tennessee Waltz.
Ooh.
Well done, Patty.
One of the greatest songs ever written.
Lee Morgan, 1964, The Sidewinder. You familiar with that one, Bear?
No.
Jefferson Airplane, 1967, Surrealistic Pillow.
That's what made it from Jefferson Airplane?
It wasn't White Rabbit?
1971, Bill Withers, Ain't No Sunshine When She Comes.
Great song.
Tracks. Mm-hmm. He's one of the greats. Master of his craft.
The Cars, 1978. The Cars. Now, is that the whole record? There was no, they didn't do a song called The Cars, right? Well, maybe they did, because 1994, Green Day, Dookie.
Maybe these
Dookie?
Are records.
Yeah. You remember Dookie?
I don't remember Dookie.
Oh, you don't remember Dookie was huge when it dropped.
Yeah.
Was that a record or a song?
It was a record. It was the one that... When I Come Around,
oh, okay.
And
yeah,
Longview,
yeah, yeah.
There's a bunch of
hits. Recorded at Sound City. The late, great Jerry Finn engineered that one. The thing sounded fat when it hit radio. You
Everybody
remember?
Loved Dookie.
Nope, yeah, I do remember that. And Dookie and Nimrod are the two that stick out in my head.
Notorious B.I.G., 1994, Ready to Die. And from 1998,
yes,
The Chicks, Wide Open Spaces.
They weren't the Chicks in 1998.
They were the Dixie Chicks.
It's a good song, though. I'll admit it.
Never heard it.
You've heard Wide Open Spaces.
There's no other ones? There are no other interesting ones?
I mean, there's a lot on here, a lot of stuff I haven't heard of. Johnny Mathis from 1957, Chances Are.
That's a good one. You don't like Johnny Mathis?
I don't know any of his stuff.
He's a singer of Christmas songs, is he not? I think.
I was going to say that name does sound familiar.
I just love it. Tucker has such a weird way of phrasing questions and phrases. He's a singer of Christmas songs, is he not?
I was trying to put the pieces together in my head.
Well,
as
I mean,
I said
the first
that.
Song is listed on Apple Music is Christmas Time Is Here.
All right, then.
Chances Are.
Point.
Is that
Harlem.
The song we're looking for?
Quick timeout. The drive continues. More Fan Run Radio coming up. Back here on The Drive, Fan Run Radio. This is, who's this?
Johnny Mathis. Listen to his silky voice. Shh, shh. Let it breathe, boys. Let it breathe, dude.
Saturdays were for the wives, but Friday night at the club, that was for the girlfriends.
I looked up another one. I found some perfect music for Chris's Dean Curley.
Oh, yeah, he found the clarinet marmalade.
Oh, it's incredible.
That's a crooner right there.
Yeah. Was this not what he was
like
singing
in
the
Goodfellas.
Movie? That's what I'm saying. That's what I just quoted. Friday nights were for the girlfriends down at the... I forget the name of the club, but...
The Copacabana.
I don't know. I'd say you've heard it in movies before. It's pretty famous. I can't believe you've never heard it before, Russ, being somewhat of a noted audiophile around the station here.
Johnny Mathis from Gilbert, Texas. Gilmer, Texas, the sprawling metropolis of Gilmer, Texas. which is noted as being the birthplace of Johnny Mathis, and Don Henley from the Eagles.
Hmm.
Yep, native Texan. Now, tell me this doesn't sound like great Dean Curley music. You ready, Chris?
What is this?
This is clarinet marmalade.
All right.
Next stop, Pottersville. Next stop, Pottersville.
Old Dean Curley.
That was the swinging
20s. That's like exactly what I said.
Great. Jersey was the place.
He was swinging and so were we.
Hey, man. That's hot. That's hot.
Get this kid signed immediately.
This is the scene where the three guys walk up to the door, metal door with the peephole, and they have to give the code
Speakeasy.
Word to get into.
Yeah, yeah.
And then they get in a rickety elevator and go down. Hey, everybody's drinking and throwing dice.
You bathtub gin.
Let's get Joshy Boy, a man who's been known to throw dice a time or two. Joshy Boy, what's up?
Hold on.
What's up, guys?
Hey, Joshy Boy.
Hey. So, Phil kind of sounded worried, didn't he, about our running back issue?
It's Phil. He's worried about everything, to be fair.
Yeah.
Are you worried about it, Joshy Boy?
Did that running back we were interested in from Oregon State, did he cancel his visit here?
Yep.
I don't think he ever had a visit.
Well, it said he was supposed to come here April 21st and 22nd. That's at least according to On3. So,
it bizarre. Been, what, next Saturday?
This
or
coming.
No, Sunday and
this
Monday.
Coming Sunday.
So, do you think we'll try to get one in the portal still or probably not running back?
I don't know at this point. I mean, if you were going to go after one, it would appear that this would be the one you would go after, right? And I can't imagine that they would go after a quote-unquote lesser prospect just to keep the vibes good in the running back room. That seems like not very Josh Heupel-like mentality to me.
What about Hayden from Ohio State?
I mean, it doesn't sound like they've even kicked the tires there. I've heard nothing. You would think if Aaron Hayden's son had any interest in Tennessee or vice versa, that would be all over the message boards, that the recruit Knicks would know that, you know, Hayden would give an interview at some point saying he's going to come on a visit. I mean, he's been in the portal for over a week now and nothing.
I just wonder why they wouldn't entertain him, you know?
The only SEC program he has heard from, at least according to On3, is Auburn. That's coming from Steve Wiltfong yesterday.
Yeah. So do we know how the visit went from Igor Milicic from Charlotte when he came yesterday?
Yeah, I mean, I've heard that it went very well.
Good.
I might even go so far as to say that Tennessee leads.
Yeah.
What's the recruiting terminology? He's a strong lean.
Yeah, strong lean.
So this would be a really good pickup, right? He can shoot the three, kind of a stretch forward.
Yeah. I mean, that's
really good athlete for 6'10", and he's got some range too.
Yeah, I mean, it just when you see the size on paper, it doesn't comport with what you see on. Granted, it's a highlight video, but very comfortable putting the ball on the floor and you know, dribbling to the hoop, three level scorer, if you will. So definitely seems more efficient than what we were getting from the 4 and 5 spots last year.
Yeah.
Now granted, that's at Charlotte. Does it translate to the SEC? I don't know. It seems like Tennessee's going all in on this one.
They played lesser competition up there in Charlotte.
True.
So, what do you guys think about the Lanier kid from North Florida? Do you think he's going to go to the pros, or do you think he'll come here?
I don't know. I haven't heard anything about his pro prospects. I've been under the assumption that he's coming here. do a little quick Google search. I should have done this research earlier.
What about you, Tucker? Have you heard anything?
What about Igor?
About Chaz Lanier.
No, Lanier.
Oh, Lanier.
It's going to be he's a kid that's going through the NBA process.
Yeah, right? And the combine's not – it doesn't start until May 12th. So if he gets invited to the – and I don't even know – that's invite only, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I know it's quite a few players, but if he ends up going through that, I mean, we may not know on Lanier for a good month.
I know the deadline to withdraw if you want to maintain your college eligibility is June 16th. The draft is June 26th.
But here's the thing – I think you can wait on it because, again, we just talked with Phil. You've got eight scholarships spoken for, right? That gives you five to play with.
There's no rush.
So even if Awaka comes back and Igor jumps in the boat, you've still got three to play with.
Just keep one in your back pocket, right?
Lanier is good enough to where you would want to – you hold a spot for him. You hold a spot for Cade Tyson. And, I mean, even if you get both of those guys, you've still got a spot to play with.
You heard about Tyson Russ. Is Tennessee leading in his sweepstakes?
I don't think so. It sounded like North Carolina would be the odds-on favorite for him.
Yeah. Makes sense. His brother played at Clemson.
Well, he's from North Carolina, but he was here. You've already had him on campus for a visit, so you follow up there and I mean, none of these guys are giving interviews. None of them are talking with the media. So it's all speculation, really.
If North Carolina gets Tyson, I know we've been out on this player for a while, but I would reemerge for St. Thomas and try to get him.
I heard that they took Dubar over St. Thomas. They view them as
St. Thomas
basically the same guy. And they like Dubar a little better.
Right. I'm hearing this Tyson kid, not going to compare anything to Dalton Kanek, but he has like that scoring ability like Kanek.
Yeah, I don't know if he quite that good, but you like the 6'7", 205, similar build, 16 points a game at Belmont as a sophomore. So he's not as old as Dalton was when he got here. And the averages aren't that high. What is Belmont? Is that Atlantic Sun, OVC?
Missouri Valley now. They moved up second time.
Still, not the level of competition he would face here. But, I mean, if you were able to get him and his 46.5% three-point range shooting combined with Lanier's 44% three-point shooting, That's what I'm looking. I'm looking for shooters, man. I'm looking for shooters and rim protectors if I'm Barnes.
Yeah. Out the door, Russ. The show's been really good today, especially we haven't heard from Polish Joe. Put that in your pop and smoke it, big boy.
Wow.
That was kind of unnecessary.
Are you unsolicited big boy or shot is Joe big boy?
I don't know. Who's he taking a shot at?
He's taking a shot at our friend Polish Joe. Who, while misguided at times, is a super nice guy.
He does buy beers for you if you come to the watch parties.
It's true. Even if you don't want them,
What he lacks for in etiquette, basketball smarts, ability to judge a coach, and some would say
read the room,
general manners. He more than makes up for just a willingness to supply you with alcohol.
Sometimes you need that.
I thought Joshy Boy was a little out of line there, guys.
Milicic averaged 13 points per game for Charlotte this past year. He is from Rijeka, Croatia. Eight and a half rebounds. 6'10", 225, according to ESPN.com.
Where did Lanier play in high school again?
Ensworth in Nashville.
That's where I know him from.
Oh, yeah. You know him?
No, I saw him playing a game.
Here it comes.
They played Catholic State semifinals. BJ hung 33 on him.
Where'd BJ go? Is he going to stick around SMU?
I have no idea. I hadn't heard anything from him.
He hasn't called you and updated you on his plans?
He stays in touch with a really good friend of mine. Yeah, he held Lanier to 10 points. I remember that game now. Yeah, he abused Lanier. I had to look away, Houston.
So are you sure that they were matched up?
Do we want Lanier? I mean, guys are allowed to leave and get better, right? The guy shot 44% from three-point range.
Yeah,
like not in the state semifinals against my guy.
All right.
Just saying
what?
Should have kept BJ.
What the? Guy averaged like 5 points a game at SMU last year. I don't want to rip your guy, but my guy shot 44%, averaged 18 points, and is currently going through the NBA draft advisory process.
When was that game, Bear?
Oh, it was one of the last things that 2020, March of 2020. Remember they got the private school tournament in, and then
you're
the
not
going to
pull up the stats and tell me that Lanier had like 24 points against him, are you?
I was just curious. I was just
looking it up. Look it up.
Looks like it's a pretty tight game, 66-58.
Catholic?
Yes.
That was the year we won state.
It's high school stats are hard. I don't know if I can find them.
They are hard
before
to find.
Before the break.
Probably would
here.
Have won the next year had they not talked Tomba into reclassifying. It was a brilliant move.
Well, it's important.
Completely ruined his development.
It's important when you're finding stats. You got to be on top of the numbers. You got to know what time it is. You got to be ready to do the things that are your responsibility. Hour number three of the drive coming up right after this.